Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to episode 7 of the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. Fear L.A. No one really cares about the guy. What's up, Internet? This is episode 7 of the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. I am your host, Ray Moraldi, also known as Ray Ray. It's been a while since I've done this podcast, about 3 weeks, I believe. So, what's been going on? March Madness, WrestleMania's around the corner, life is okay in Portland, Oregon. I do miss seeing the random celebrity in Southern California. That was part of the charm of living there. And I believe I had mentioned a few episodes ago about my random encounter with Suge Knight, who is out on a bail of $25 million. So he's not going to be coming out anytime soon. Anyway, I believe that's episode 4 of my encounter with Suge Knight. So if you missed that episode, you can go back and download it on rare-ray.net. Such a shill. Anyway, recently I did a Throwback Thursday pick, and it had my friend Violet and Avril Lavigne. Now, this is pretty funny. We were in Jerry's Deli in Burbank, and we were on our way out when we saw a girl in a hoodie. Upon closer inspection of her face, yeah, we're so terrible, we realized that it was Avril Lavigne. And guess who she was with? Wilder Valderrama from That 70s Show. Fez. Anyway, Violet went up to her, and Avril was nice enough to take a picture with her. And my group was all like, yay, Avril! But the funny thing is that nobody cared about Fez. Violet did talk about the story on her blog, and she was getting calls about Avril and Wilmer potentially dating. Avril was coming off a divorce, I believe, while Fez is known to date all the pretty ladies around Hollywood. And I don't even remember what happened between them, but that was in 2009. So I have no idea what they've been doing as of late. I know Avril did some, like, I don't know, Hello Kitty song or something. Look that up on YouTube. That's your random encounter in Southern California. In a bit, I'm going to talk to my friend Mark Gonzalez, who is a stand-up comedian. And when you say you're a stand-up comedian, you better be damn funny. And Mark's a funny guy. But with that tag, you're a comedian, your expectations become so much higher when it comes to being hilarious. So yeah, Mark is going to talk Lakers, his Fear LA brand, being a comedian, and being a pro wrestler. Here we go!
On the line, creator of Fear LA, stand-up comedian, Laker fan, WWE fan, longtime friend of mine,
yeah.
Mark Gonzalez. We don't talk enough, man, seriously. Like, yeah. This is the first time I ever had this on a podcast.
I know. I feel so bad. I was like, oh man, we haven't like really talked in a long time, ever since you moved up to the Great North. Before then, I mean, I think the first time we met was actual Bloggers Throwdown in, like, what, 2010, I think?
Something like that. Yeah, played ball, and we chatted a little bit, and then that was it, and then we did talk on Twitter here and there, and then, yeah.
I remember I almost broke my ankle that day because I was walking, so I remember from that day. I was still trying to play on it. That was terrible. But anyway.
Yeah, that was in a gym in LA, right, when we met, basically? Like, all these bloggers were playing? Yeah. I was so out of I'm still out of shape now, but, like, I was so out of shape then, too. So it's like, what am I even doing here, you know? So, you're a comedian, and is this what you've wanted to do your entire life?
Originally, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a pro wrestler. That was the ultimate dream. That was the goal. Out of high school, I graduated, and I told my mom, I'm going to wrestling school. And she goes, no, you're not. You're going to college first. And then I tried going to college, and, of course, I dropped out, which led to me being in a band for a couple of years, a metal band. And then that last year, I started doing stand-up comedy, and then the band fell apart. And here I am doing stand-up comedy 9 years later. So, I did some wrestling training last year, and it's just so – you really have to dedicate 110%. Like, your body – you have to be so committed, and I really wasn't because, you know, stand-up's really my thing right now. So, you know, it's either drink all night, hang out with the guys in the network, or hit the gym, watch what you eat, you know, take protein shakes and, you know, train at night. So, you know, I'm a comedian right now, so that's what I'm focusing on. So, but yeah, I always wanted to be a pro wrestler, but, you know.
Let's talk about that training quick. How did that go? Like, how many weeks? What did you have to do? And what were you not allowed to do and stuff like that?
Oh, well, I started in July of, I want to say, 2013. Yeah, 2013 in July. And then I did that for the summer up until about August when they moved locations. It was at a warehouse behind a recycling center in Bell. So it's like,
oh, wow.
It's like, you know, like when I forget what movie it was, but where a kid wants to learn, you know, karate, it's like behind of a Chinese or a, you know, kung fu, you know, behind of a Chinese restaurant. I learned how to be, you know, a luchador behind a recycling center in the most expensive area of L.A. So I guess it kind of made sense. But, yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, the training was great. Scorpio Sky was my trainer, and so was Tyler, which is he goes by what was his wrestling name for a while? I just know him as Tyler now. Yeah, they're training me. And, yeah, I'm really good friends with Sky now. And such an awesome guy. Great trainer, man. He let us, like, just kind of learn at our own pace. You know, when you see these wrestling schools, you know, they just kind of – they weed out the thin, and that's not what he did with us. What he did with us was he really let us have fun. And, I mean, he made us train hard, but it was still all about having fun and just enjoying, you know, pro wrestling. So, I lived like every fantasy. I jumped off the top rope. You know, I learned how to take a bump. I was like, I was shanking, man. It was, dude, my whole life. It's all I ever wanted to do. And I was finally doing it. And then they closed the doors because they had to move locations. And not until 2014, I want to say, first quarter of the year, they found a new spot in Sherman Oaks. And then I tried doing it again, but just, I was really out of shape, and I gained more weight, and I was trying to do it, and then it was just too much for me. And that's when I kind of thought twice. I'm like, you know, if I'm going to do this, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to waste anybody's time of, you know, just being the slowest one and not being able to catch up. So I kind of took a hiatus from it, and right now I'm just focusing on actually getting healthy. While I write comedy, I'm trying to write an hour of material, so I kind of cut back on performing and really just focused on writing because that's for me, at least, that's where my strong point is when it comes to stand-up is just my writing. I try to write, you know, really good, strong punches and focus on that. And then the performing, you know, that comes later. But to me, it's always about the material. You know, I like to know what I'm going to say on stage, you know, before I say it. And, you know, just say it the way how I like to say it. I feel that needs to be said. But as far as for wrestling is concerned, yeah, man, it was a lot of fun. My first couple of weeks, I took ice baths, you know. Thanks to Kobe for teaching me that, and it helped a lot. Dude, if I could, I could barely get out of bed, man. I was just so sore. It was crazy. It's the most working out I've never experienced. It's like it was just crazy. That's all I can say. If you're out, if someone's gonna try to do it, they're completely out of shape. You're gonna die. They're gonna be dead like the first 3 days right after. But I enjoy it. I want to do it again. I just, like I said, I just want to get in much better shape. And, hey, maybe, you know, go all the way this time or, you know, just, you know, extend my stay a little bit more because I only did it for like 6 months. But it was, you know, the funnest 6 months of my life. So I had a lot of fun.
Did you have a name ready to go?
Not yet. When I was backyard wrestling in high school, I went by Mark Fury because, my original name was Homicide, but then they would call me Homicide, and they would chant it all the time.
Oh, jeez.
Let me go ahead and just change my name to something else they can't, you know, so no one will be offended. I went with Mark Fury, which I never, you know, I completely forgot about Nick Fury, so people were like, oh, like the comic book. I was like, damn it, that's right. But, I just went with Mark Gonzalez. My gimmick, though, I was going to be a stand-up comedian. You know, I was going to do, like, a minute. You know, I was going to be, like, the Tonight Show. Like, my gimmick would have been the Tonight Show. Like, I hosted my own show, except, you know, I came out, you know, welcomed everyone to my show, which is my match. And I did, like, a minute or two of comedy, and then I roasted my opponent, and then we wrestled, and I probably got the, you know, crap kicked out of me. But, it was going to be Mark Gonzalez. That was it. I can't think of anything else. You know, I like my last name, you know, but, I mean, if I'll change it, I'll change it, but it has to be good. But, I was ready. I was ready to go. I was excited. Hopefully one day I could still do that stand-up comedy gimmick, because they're telling me no one's really done it before, so I could at least be the first one to say it.
Yeah, nowadays WWE likes to change your name, so I don't know, they'll probably change your name to like I don't know, like Marco Sanchez or something like that.
They ask you that. It's like that, those Facebook quizzes, like, you know, pick your middle name and the street you lived on as a kid, and then that's your new reason.
Exactly.
So, like, yeah, like, you know, my middle name's Philip. I live on Moss, so Philip Moss. There you go. Go to NXT or something like that.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. So, did you just stumble into stand-up comedy? Because you've always been a funny guy the time that I've known you. So, has it always been – is that kind of alternate – career or something, or what's
up? You know, I've always been a fan of it. I grew up watching stand-up comedy. It was always like a love that I kind of never really realized that I had. But one of the pastimes that I had with like me and my dad growing up was watching stand-up comedy. As a kid, we would watch like Andrew Dice Clay, Sam Kinison, stuff you're not, you know, a 9-year-old isn't supposed to watch, but I was watching it. And you know, when I watch these like old like HBO specials, like I remember them when I was a kid. So I always grew up a fan of stand-up comedy. It was probably – comedy's always been my second love. It's always been, you know, Mel Brooks. I grew up watching Mel Brooks movies when I was a kid. You know, I was, you know, what 10-year-old would go rent Spaceballs all the time or, you know, or something like that, you know, during the 80s. So it's like, you know, that was – I just – it was funny. I love to laugh. So I always watched comedy. I was always a fan of it. I just never thought I would actually be doing it. Like, you know, it, when Mitch Hedberg passed away, that kind of gave me a realization, like, you know, if I'm ever going to try this, I better do it now. Cause people used to tell me, hey man, you should do it for a living, or you should get paid for it to be funny. I'm like, hey, yeah, you're right. Yeah. So, you know, in my head, like, I could be a rock star, but no, it's completely opposite for now, eventually, but that's the goal. But, it's comedies. Comedy's what it's my calling. I kind of found out who I really was as a person, and it gave me an identity, and it helped me establish who I am today. So, you know, without comedy, you know, who knows what I'd be doing, you know? So.
Yeah. Being funny is kind of subjective. It's like, it's different everywhere else, basically. So it's gotta be tough. You mentioned on Twitter a few times that, like, you know, you kind of bound on a few shows or whatever, you know, that must be really tough, man. Like, what's the science of being funny? I don't even know how to ask this, but like, you know, there's gotta be some kind of formula here, right?
Yeah, you know what, for stand-up, I was talking to someone recently about that, and they were telling me how, oh, I'm funny, but I'm not stand-up comedy funny. And I was trying to explain to them, you know, you're making strangers laugh. You never met any of these people, and they expect you to entertain them. So you also have to find a way to connect with them emotionally, so that way they can listen to you, pay attention, and follow what you're saying, and like you. That's the important part, is like you. So you have to win them over. So finding your voice and finding how to do that, it takes a lot of experience, of course. That's why you ask any comedian, you know, any headliner right now, you know, especially big name, Patton Oswalt, Louis C.K., they always say, just go on stage, keep going on stage, learn, just keep going. Because it is. It's all about experience, and you figure it out. It's one of those things where there's nothing – there's no guidelines or no instruction manual on how to do it. You just do it, and then you kind of learn as you go. But as far as – for me, I mean, as far as – how I do it, like, it's my, you know, everyone's interested in someone, and, you know, everyone will listen to your story. If you have, you know, if you have something interesting to say, people will listen. My point of view comes from, you know, my personal life. Everything I say is just, it's what's happened in my life, or it's my personal opinion on something, something that really bothers me. If I find like an injustice somewhere in something, then that's my trigger. That's when I go, okay, I got to talk about this. Like right now, my first 5 minutes of my act is me dealing with being a third generation Mexican American and why I get accused of not being brown, or not having enough brown pride, you know, of not being Mexican. So that's my first 5 minutes about me dealing with that. Cause you know, you're whitewashed and you know, you're more American. Yeah, I am American. I'm American. You know, I was born here. I'm American, but you know, people, you know, my family don't see that. People that speak Spanish to me and I don't speak Spanish, they don't see that. They just see it as a slap in the face to my heritage, and it's not. I'm just, you know, I'm just who I am. So that's me. I defend myself. I defend myself and everyone else in my position because, dude, so many people come up to me after, especially if they're Mexican and they don't speak Spanish, or Hispanic and just don't speak Spanish. Like, dude, I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, thank you for saying that. Sticking up for, like, I get thank you. So, dude, that's me is – that, you know, that's perfect, you know. Well, if I could, you know, hit someone emotionally or connect with them, and you know, they have a real like just bond with me, that, dude, that's it right there. That's stand-up comedy, dude. You just, you know, we go on stage and, you know, everything what you talk about is just, it's all negative opinions, but you know, you have to have something to say. So that's the other part of, you know, comedy too, is you just have to have something. You can't just go on stage and make funny noises, no one's gonna laugh. You know, you just have to have a – you can have to have a point. I mean, some people don't. I mean, some people – some comics make a living not having a point and just going, you know, girls are dumb when they drunk, or girls are, you know, get dumb when they drink or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or girls
–
and then they do it and people laugh and, hey, that's funny to them. That's fine. It connects with them. That's fine. That's how they get it. You know, that's how that person connects with that material. So I have a little difficulty connecting with some people because I'm just a little – I guess I don't know. It's with every comic that speaks, you know, personally from their own perspective. It's a little harder to connect because they – it's not so mainstream where it's like, you know – you know, I don't do topical humor. I don't do mainstream stuff. You know, it's I don't want to say it's the alternative because it's really not alternative, but it's just more of you know, I just have a, you know, it's just my own story, and it just depends on if, you know, the audience is into it. I adjust, you know, I definitely adjust to that. But you know, if it's hit, you know, I have enough. I like to think I have enough ammunition to it'll get me out of a ditch if I have to, pretty much. So because I've come across a lot of times where I've eaten so much, you know, crap in front of like 200 people one time at a gig in Pine Top, Arizona. They're all senior citizens. They're all retired. You know, I was trying to figure myself out as a comic, and I was doing crowd work, and they're booing me. They're like, say a joke already.
Whoa.
I want to hear something funny. And I was getting mad because I was like, well, like, I thought you guys would want me to do some crowd work, you know, talk to you guys, interact with you guys. And this guy yells, like, boo, say a joke already. And I'm like, yeah, I would, but you'd be dead by then. And then they all start going, boo. I headlined. Give me the light, like, dude, get the hell off the stage, dude, get off. So I've learned a lot over the years. That was like 6 years ago. So, but yeah, you're on the road now, and you know, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
What's the worst comedy experience you ever had on stage, or what was the worst one?
One of the worst. You know, I've had dead silence plenty of times. I haven't been. I don't really get. I mean, it's so funny. It sounds so cocky. I'm not cocky at all.
No, don't worry.
Yeah, I swear to God, I'm the lowest self-esteem, lowest confidence in the room, in any room. But I don't really get heckled a lot, and I don't know if like, I've been complimented telling me how my material is really good and strong enough to where like I don't have to do crowd work, and that's what kind of gave me a confidence. And you know, but as far as like being heckled, I really don't. If someone's being loud, I talk to them like a normal person. I don't want to try to make it awkward. Some comics like to, you know, tell them to shut the F up and, you know, just, you know, talk down to them. I'm like, no, you're going to weird the room out. You know, it's like, do you do that to strangers? Like in a conversation at a party, you don't do that. You have to treat the audience like you were treating five people at a party. That's how you talk to them. You know, you're nice to them, introduce yourself, you know, get to know them. That's how it works. You know, that's what communication is. So, you know, there's been times when I just get dead silence and I'll be like, what's wrong with you guys? Like, what's going on? Like, what's here? You know, you guys, you know, you just here to laugh, or you guys didn't know this is happening? Because that's happened a lot. You know, like, go to dinner at a restaurant, next thing you know, we're doing stand-up comedy. Clears the room right away, which is hilarious. I always love that. Because comedy's, you know, stand-up comedy's not the most, you know, beloved art form. You know, it can be kind of a train wrecky, I guess I like to say. But the incident in Pine Top, that was probably one of the worst. But I mean, as far as anything recent, it's been a long time since anything really happened. I've been able to, that experience kicks in where you kind of, you know, you've experienced a lot already and you kind of know how things go. So, you know, it's just, experience kicks in. So, you know, if you have to kind of take a whole show over, you know, you can do it, you know? I'm alive so far, so nothing's been thrown at me yet. So,
well, that's right.
Yeah.
So another thing that you've been doing outside of stand-up comedy and trying to be a professional wrestler is that you've also created Fear LA, which is, you know, basically like telling everyone else that, yeah, LA teams are the best. LA sports teams are the best.
Yeah.
How did that
– oh, you're cutting off right there. What was that?
How did that come about?
Back when the early days of Twitter, or when everyone joined Twitter, I was like 08 when it started really kicking. I would watch Laker games, and I learned about live tweeting. And so
we all did.
You were a part of that group, so everyone,
yeah, of course.
Hey, this is fun. It's like a giant chat room, and we all get to. I had more fun on Twitter than I had watching the game. So, you know, and so that year, you know, 2008. I mean, you know, Lakers went to the finals, but we lost. But I would always, you know, and I just couldn't stand the fact how, you know, other teams would chant "Beat LA" and we had nothing for them. So it's like in my mind, I'm like, okay, what's the opposite of fear? You know, of them fearing us. Like, why do they fear us? Oh, because they're afraid that we're going to beat them? Is that what it is? Or, you know, or, I mean, I'm sorry, the other way around. You know, us beating them, you know, is because they fear us. And so, and that's how I got it. I got, you know, this, they, you know, do they fear us? Or do they say, do they chant beat LA because they fear us? So it's like, fear LA? It's like, hey, that's kind of, you know, that has a nice real ring to it. So I started doing a hashtag, yeah, fear LA in 2008. And then in 2009, I decided, hey, you know what? I'll just create its own Twitter. And so I bought the domain, and I didn't know what was I was going to do with it. And then and it just kind of took off into its – you know, I'm still trying to find its main voice. It was a blog for a while, sports blog. I got together with Gary, the former owner, a bud creator of Lakers Nation. He helped me kick it off. And, you know, and it just wasn't – Well, I mean, it just wasn't my thing, really. I just, you know, he wanted to be like a gossip sports site, kind of like what Therese Owens.com, yeah, like what that is now. And you know, it's not really what I wanted to do. And we kind of just didn't, you know, see eye to eye on it. I tried, you know, we wrote like 500 word articles like in a week, and just to try to get some content up, you know, so we can launch and try to get something going. And we got a lot of views, and you know, it was enough just to kind of cover, you know, the cost of just even having it up. But I learned a lot from it, you know. And yeah, right now I kind of took a hiatus on the sports blogging of it, the form of it. I sell merch, you know, it kind of creates a brand. So it's, that's the other thing too. It's like people will always ask me for t-shirts, so I was like, all right, well, let's have some fun with it. And if people still went up, people buy them, you know, it's like, okay, you know, if you guys, and it's great. It's a great feeling because it's my art still, you know, it's still my, you know, it's something I created and people want to buy it and wear it. Hell yeah. You know, who doesn't want like that feeling? So I still do it, you know, and that's what it is right now. But I'm actually looking to relaunch it to a sports blog. I'm working with some guys that you know. I won't say on the air yet, but I can tell you. But yeah, we're looking to relaunch it, and hopefully maybe this year, next year. Hopefully next year.
The Lakers season. Plus, you got a lot of things going on too. Like you're doing your stand up comedy. You're trying to get back into wrestling soon, so you know.
Yeah.
A lot of things going on with you.
Yeah, I got a lot on my plate, and I really have to figure out where I'm going to put my time. So. That's that. You know, I'm going to figure it out this year. Maybe I'll sell it. Maybe I'll keep it. Who knows what's going to happen with Fair LA. But I love it. I love interacting with everybody. You know, I make new friends every day on it. And it's a lot of fun. Right now, it's a little rough because I just don't know what to say now because we're just – well, we want to lose or something. Or, you know, the whole tank thing. So, but –
yeah.
We'll be right back with more Mark Gonzalez after this promo and after this song.
Hey everyone, I'm Matt Moore from CBSSports.com. Listen to Ray Ray's Fundamental as much as you can, as often as you can, because it's awesome, he's awesome, the NBA is awesome, and you are awesome. Have a great day.
I hope you do know how to play the game. Here is the second half of the interview with Mark Gonzalez.
As we transition into talking about the Lakers now, which is like, you know, it's tough. I don't like watching them lose at all. The tanky thing actually irritates me because it's like it becomes a culture after a while. So
yeah.
What else are you gonna talk about that? You know what I mean? It's like they suck right now. Like what else can we say?
I have to give credit to so many, you know, Lakers journalists, beat writers, everybody that covers the Lakers right now. You still have to write. You still have to post regardless of the situation. So my hat's off to them, man. You know, everyone that picks up the microphone and, you know, or even just writes, you know, a post, you know, 500 words on them losing every night is hard. So it's, you know, credit to you, credit to everybody that writes about just basketball in general. I gained so much respect for you guys, and, you know, it's something that should be very much respected. And I, you know, I learned that, you know, with, you know, it's not like I never did it. I never disrespected you guys, but I mean, I learned that. I learned how much goes into doing what you guys do. And yeah, I just, it's about what the Lakers do. It's just so rough. Right?
it really is. It's like, what's next? Like, okay, Cole's going to play next year.
Yeah.
Lakers are going to have a top five pick next year. And then what? You know, it's really hard to, like, just build up from there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, right now the goal is just, you know, everyone said, okay, we have to wait for the summer and see what happens with that pick. You know, it's all – everyone said it's going to take another three. I don't know. I think it might take – I think we might make the playoffs next year. I think our chances will be a lot better. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, and I might be, you know, having a little favoritism in it. But I see next year being a much better year than this year, where at least we'll be kind of, you know – in the picture, but, you know, I would think, you know, maybe 2016, 2017, hopefully people will actually be fearing LA instead of laughing at all.
I know, right? Yeah, you're going to create a new brand called, like, Laugh at LA or something like that or whatever.
I should.
Or you can actually, like, just go ahead and trademark Beat LA, because who has that trademark right now? Does anyone have that trademark? I don't think so.
You know, I don't know. I don't think so, to be honest. When I checked trademarking, no one owned it, but I know, what was it, the Suns, they bought the domain, beat.la, I guess it's .la, and they bought that, and, like, if you type it, it goes to, like, the history of the rivalry between the Lakers and the Suns, which is hilarious, which...
The Suns?
You know, yeah.
The Suns?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
You would think
that's just weird.
No, the Suns, they're really, yeah, they're bored out there. You've been to Arizona before, right?
Man, like, the only time the Suns beat the Lakers was, like, I'm trying to think, 90, 05, and 06, probably. No, 06 and 07.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's really rivalry.
And the last time the Lakers faced the Suns in the playoffs, 2010. Yeah, 2010, which is, I like that Suns too much.
I love that. Yeah. Dude, that was one of my favorite Western Conference. That was such a good series. I bought
it. Really was.
Like, no one buys the Western Conference championship shirt, but I did. Like, that's how exciting it was for me. I bought that shirt, and I wear it, like, all the time, which is hilarious.
That was a good series. Like, Game 4 had the Suns bench step up. Game 5 had the Ron Artest winner.
The miracle shot.
Yeah, then Game 6, Kobe went off of those unbelievable turnaround fadeaways, man. Like, what could you do at that point, you know?
My favorite moment was at 3, and then he slaps Elvin Gentry on the ass.
Elvin Gentry.
Dude, the crowd was so dead. I remember I jumped off my seat to see how, like, I was just cursing everything, but oh my god, dude, I got so wasted that night.
And the game before that, Elvin Gentry was throwing up too. You remember that?
Whoa, that's right, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Right.
Yeah, I talked to his daughter, and it was actually a fried artichoke that he was, like, throwing up on. So
yeah, sure, he was. Oh, okay, it wasn't Kobe that he was that was making.
Yeah, well, maybe not too, but because, like, Kobe, like, yeah, I mean, your team is beating you. Yeah, I throw up too.
My favorite quote at his presser during game 5 was, he goes, so does anybody have any ideas? Like, I don't know what to do. He's like, I remember he was complimenting the Lakers and Kobe so much. That game, he won me over. I was like, man, I would love that guy as a coach. Like, he just seems like a good dude and a good coach. But wait, what's he?
Yeah.
He's on the Clippers.
He's on the Warriors now. He's on the Warriors.
I wondered. Okay,
yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I told that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Where's going to be? If they don't go all the way, man, I don't know what's wrong with them.
It's the West, dude. Anybody can go all the way. Seriously. Like, the
Spurs, right.
The Pacers, the Warriors.
You're,
yeah, man.
Yeah, I kind of – I know. It's so tough. I like. It's crazy.
It's stacked. It's stacked. Seriously. Did you say something? Sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay. So WrestleMania is this Sunday. God, it's so tough to talk about this because, like, the WWE doesn't make sense right now. Like, their storylines don't make sense. Yeah, it's tough for a wrestling fan. It's like 2009 or something where they're just like on a lull or whatever, you know?
It's funny how you said it, because I remember there was a period where I even stopped watching WrestleMania. Is like, I want to say it was from like 13 to, yeah, maybe it was like till like, well, like I watched like maybe 18, but like, you know, I like won every other one, but for a while I remember when, like, you know, when it was like a handicap match, when it was like the Big Boss Man and versus the Undertaker. I forgot which WrestleMania was, where they hung him on top of the house.
I remember that.
Like, what are they doing? Like, I don't know. What, they just hung him, but he's gonna be live on Raw tomorrow. Like, you better not show up tomorrow. Like, I was like, unless that's it. Like, you know, I didn't think WCW was already gone by then. Oh no, maybe not. Like, unless he jumped, you know, to another thing, but. Dude, I don't know what they're doing on wrestling. It's so confusing. I haven't been I usually WrestleMania, I'm pumped. You know, I'm so excited. You know, I'm pre-partying. This year, I'm like, oh, it's Sunday. Okay. What time? All right. Oh, that's right. That time. Okay. Well, yeah, you know, I'll work my schedule. You know, I'll figure it out or whatever. You know, there's nothing to really be excited about. Last year, it's like, you know, there was a story that was being told with Daniel Bryan, and I loved it. I love rooting for the underdog. You know, I like watching the impossible happen, because that's what it's all about. That's pro wrestling. It's all about storytelling. And, you know, watching that story unfold was great. With Roman Reigns, you know, I still don't have a reason to cheer for him. I know, you know, I don't want to sound like a smark, but, you know, it's like, I can't relate to the guy. You know, it's not like he's defeated a lot of obstacles or anything like that. Everything's been kind of just, you know, okay, he's going to win Royal Rumble, and then he's going to beat Daniel Bryan, so that way hopefully it gives him the rub, and then now you guys are going to like him. It's like, no, I can't connect with the guy. Like, I don't, you know, I loved him on The Shield. That was, there's a faction. They were great. I love The Shield. But individual, like just him, I can't, you know, I have nothing to cheer for. Like, I just hope Brock Lesnar just wipes the floor with him, because I love Brock Lesnar. but yeah, dude, I mean, that's it's weird. I mean, I know I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to sound like a smark or anything like that, but it just, you know, I'm still a fan, and I've always been going to be a fan, and I'm always going to be that, you know, that kid, that 5-year-old kid sitting in front of the TV, you know, hoping Hulk Hogan wins, because, you know, that's who I always watched. And, you know, but so as an adult, like, I have, of course, you know, we have a better understanding how things work, but, you know, me and doing comedy and just learning about, you know, how to write a story, I just, you know, I observe a little bit more. So, you know, and you too, you have an eye for it. So you see it, as much as I do, of, you know, where it's like, it's just so much going, nothing makes sense. That's the part that kills me, is just nothing really makes sense. There's no real, like, laser-focused direction, you know, and that's what bothers me right now, and it's just really hard. So I'm going to watch it regardless, but, you know.
Yeah. Like,
go ahead.
The thing is about Roman Reigns is that, like, I don't know if it's the fact that they're kind of force-feeding us Roman Reigns instead of, like, happening organically, you know what I mean? Like, Goldberg happened organically. John Cena happened organically, even though they boo him now, but, like, everyone liked him because he was a smartass, basically. Yeah. And now it's like Roman Reigns is like, oh, he's the guy, and then he beats Randy Orton, yay, and he beats, like, other guys, yay. It's like, how can we relate to this guy?
Yeah, you get it, dude. It's like, yeah, how can we, okay, like, there's nothing to follow. It's just so obvious that, you know, they really want him to, it's the Lex Luger thing. I knew when I was a kid, WrestleMania 10, it's funny, every time there's a WrestleMania, whatever number is, that's how old I am, so that's how I can tell how old I was at the time. So, like, you know, WrestleMania 50, I'll be 50, unfortunately. Oh, yeah, like, WrestleMania 10, yeah. Like, I remember they were trying to force-feed Lex Luger, and, yeah, I never bought into it, because I just couldn't relate to the guy. It's like, he was, you know, trying to fight for America or whatever gimmick they threw at him, but, you know, I was a big Bret Hart fan, so, you know, you know, after Hogan left, I jumped on the Bret Hart train, and I loved it. It's like, because I felt for him, you know, when the way how Bret Hart would sell, you know, that's what really kind of engaged me. I'm like, oh my God, that guy, you know, he made me worry for him and made me care for him. So every time and plus, you know, he told a great story in a ring. You know, I loved watching him wrestle, you know, the sharpshooter, you know, when he did the elbow from the second rope, those little details, you know, it was always something that, you know, I became a fan of it. So, With Lex Luger, I don't know, as much as, you know, they try to, oh, here's another buff guy, hopefully, you know, you Hulk Hogan marks that, you know, miss him could jump on this, but it's like, no, you know, Hogan was, you know, he was a real life superhero. So Lex Luger was just this buff guy that loved America. And I'm like, all right, like, you know, and like, I'm not into politics or anything. I don't know, you know, what the deal is. So with Bret Hart, I just love Bret Hart. Like, just watching him wrestle. And like I said, his selling was great. He told a great story. You know, he would always hold his leg, you know, in wrestling, you always want to sell the left side of your body. It's either arm or leg. So, I learned that at an early age, you know, to hold your leg, you know, if you want to make it seem like you're hurt. So when I was a kid, I'd always do that. And I knew exactly how you would sell. I'm telling you, I was a big fan of his selling when I was a kid. But yeah, I see that Lex Luger, comparison with Roman Reigns, and it sucks for him because, you know, he's really talented and, you know, good looking dude, you know, he's got a look, but you just got to find a character and something to really, you know, have people, really like about him. So.
Do you think it's because, like, we know more about the behind the scenes stuff now that we're just turned off by Roman Reigns, or is it really still like, you mentioned Lex Luger, but we didn't know any behind-the-scenes stuff back in the day. Now we do.
Yeah.
And is it because that we learned that Roman Reigns is going to be the next guy? We're just kind of like, no, we don't want this guy.
You know, I thought about that too. Sometimes I go, you know, am I being just a dick? Like, am I being just an a-hole? But, I don't think so. Because when they try to bring out Batista, because Batista was supposed to win a title last year at WrestleMania. I don't do Batista's – no, I don't want to see Batista do the same thing he did already. You know, I want to watch Daniel Bryan, the guy that, you know, is the B, you know, the B-plus player. You know,
yeah, B-plus player, yeah.
Yeah, the guy that isn't going to headline wrestle. I'll watch that guy, you know. I like watching him wrestle. I'm a fan of his. You know, he gets me excited to watch wrestling, you know, and they're trying to put the man, you know, I called it like the clean version of Austin versus the corporation. That's what it was to me. It was Daniel Bryan, you know, he wasn't flipping anybody off, you know, he was a vegan, if anything, or vegetarian at the time, but I still felt it was, you know, the big man trying to put the little man down, and I like that. You know, that's what I've experienced. So, and that's where that comes in. There's a lot of parallels between pro wrestling and stand-up comedy. So it's like, you know, if you find some type of emotional connection with a wrestler or storyline, you know, you're going to be sold on it. So I think that's the part with Roman Reigns, is that there's no emotion to it. There's nothing for me to feel bad for him. I just, you know, it's just obvious. It's like they're just making him win all these. Like Goldberg was, I think with Goldberg, it was more of just a force of nature. And like, you just like, who is this guy? There's a mystery behind it. Like, whoa, this guy. And plus he had the NWO at the time. So it's like people that really rooted for WCW were like, oh, this guy could probably take out the NWO. Like, let me watch this guy. You know, so it's like there is some story to it, but there's no story with Roman Reigns. Like, okay, he's going to fight Brock Lesnar. So, like, okay. And then they close it out by them having a tug of war over the title. Are you kidding me? Like,
man.
Touch him. Kick him. Do something.
Yeah, seriously. And now that the news that Brock Lesnar is re-signed with WWE, it's like suddenly, you know, the result is up in the air now, because we all thought, hey, if Brock's not re-signing, the title is pretty much going to go to Roman Reigns at this point. But now, we don't know.
Yeah.
And it's better.
Yeah. I love that. It brought back some excitement to WrestleMania. That's what I said. I wasn't sold on WrestleMania until that happened. I go, whoa, really? Well, hell yeah. Like, okay. All right. Now I got something to look for. Now I have something to watch. Like, now I'm like, okay, you know, you got me to watch this. It's like, you know, it's a cliffhanger. And okay, it's like, okay, now I have to see what happens. Now I want to watch it. So, but this time it's like, I've heard everyone's throwing every scenario, and that, you know, everyone's trying to be the booker. Which I love. I love hearing what people think that can happen. You know, Paul Heyman turning on Brock, and then, you know, costing Brock the title. You know, that's always being thrown around, or just total. But I'm expecting a surprise. I just don't know what. You know, if Brock winning the belt is the surprise, then great. You know, that's fine with me. I actually kind of prefer that right now, because I think, I don't know, like, I just, as far as Brock, you know, there's a story behind him. You know, they built him so, for so long. You know, let's see who else could take a crack. You know, this, the whole summer could be, you know, Roman trying to chase the belt, you know, until SummerSlam, or, you know, for the rest of the year, or, you know, have another, or just, you know, having a bunch of other wrestlers involved, start building, you know, main eventers out of Brock Lesnar. I think that's what they should be doing, is start investing in that, because you know, after John Cena, I think, you know, John Cena's kind of coming to an end pretty soon. And, you know, I always hear him, I always hear that, you know, he's, you know, they're just trying to, they're, you know, they're trying to, you know, he's winding his career down. So from what I always hear, and, you know, they got to start building stars. You know, Dean Ambrose is on his way, you know, Daniel Bryan, I still, you know, I still want him to be that main event. I still think he, you know, he should have gotten another second chance, give him the belt, at least run it to SummerSlam, and then, you know, see what goes from there. But he never had a run, and I always wanted to see that. So, you know, throw him back in. Dolph Ziggler. Oh my God. I love Dolph.
Yeah.
Same reason mm-hmm. as I love Bret Hart. His selling, he showed emotion, he told a story. I love that. And that's mm-hmm. what gets me. He's a hell of a showman. So, you know, can we let him? I want to see him versus Brock. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that would look, oh, that would be so cool. But, you know, they don't listen to us, apparently. So.
Yeah, right? They did listen last year, so we'll see. One more thing before I let you go. NXT is the best thing going on in wrestling right now, right?
Oh, yeah, dude, I love Kevin Owens, man. Just put the belt on him, put all the titles on Kevin Owens and Finn Balor, and I'll be happy.
Yeah, oh, my God, it's like the thing about what I love about NXT is that it's pure wrestling, hardly any promos, and they wrestle, and the women wrestle. The women are so good in that thing.
Dude, that
you know?
Sasha Banks, it needs to be called up so quickly, but I'm afraid they're going to water her down. But, oh, my God, dude, I love watching her wrestle. Charlotte's amazing. Probably one of the, you know, since, what, Trish Stratus, maybe? Since, like, one of the best wrestlers. I mean, Natalya's great, too. I love watching Natalya wrestle. It's good to watch her wrestling again. That's one thing I always loved about watching NXT. It's just wrestling. It's why I love why I watch wrestling, because I like watching wrestling. Like, you know, I don't like watching promos or unfunny segments, you know, all the time. Like, I watch wrestling for wrestling, believe it or not. Hey, so
yeah, what a concept.
Well, I'm not gonna come up with this yet, but dude, NXT, I love NXT. I recommend it to everybody. It has a nice ECW vibe to it, I feel. I love the crowd there. I wish I could go attend a live, you know, taping one day, but maybe one day in the future. But, dude, NXT, I love NXT. I love it so much. Hopefully Triple H, you know, that's what's in store for the WWE after, you know, when it's time to take over everything. I hope, you know, Raw and SmackDown are, you know, it just, you know, will resemble NXT the way how it is. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. I love Kevin Owens because he plays such a great jerk. Like, you know, oh, I do it for my family, blah, 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 blah. And he kills Sami Zayn in that December match, February match.
Go ahead.
He beats Alex Riley, and then Finn Balor interferes and whatever. And then on the way out, he stomps him. Like, what a great jerk that guy is. Seriously.
Heel, dude. No one's the bad guy anymore. Like, everyone, like, that's what Jim Ross always says. Everyone wants to be the cool bad guy. Like, you know, he always says we need villains, you know. We need the guy that cowards when, you know, he's outnumbered, or, you know, when he's about to get he always gets the upper hand before, you know, a backup comes and he escapes. Or just being a jerk. Like, you know, like, watch The Million Dollar Man, dude. He was one of the meanest guys to the audience.
He totally is.
Yeah, and that's what, dude, that's how you build, and you build a connection with the audience. Same thing with stand-up comedy, like I say, and pro wrestling. There's a lot of, I'm telling you, so many parallels between it. I've learned. When I trained in pro wrestling, I said it was physical improv theater. That's what pro wrestling is, like when I resemble it, you know, when I compare it to stand-up. But, dude, that's how you connect with the audience. And Kevin Owens, he looks at the camera, he looks at the audience, you know, he interacts with them. That's how you get over it. Like, these damn wrestlers need to, like, learn from them and, like, just take notes and just I love watching Kevin Owens. I hope he does, like, a thing where he just starts winning every title and just you know, that's it. That'd be so cool. Because, like, him and versus Brock. That's all I want to see is him versus Brock.
There you go.
WrestleMania,
so,
fuck it.
Yeah, so last question. If you do your gimmick, are you going to be a face or a heel? What would you rather be?
You know what? One of my inspirations is Don Rickles, and he's not, you know, he's, you know, they call him the insult comic. He's not really, you know, he does insult jokes, but, you know, it's like he teases, and I always like the bad guy because you get away with a lot more, you know, being the heel. So if anything, you know, if I'm going to be a comedian, you know, I want the audience to be the person that they love to hate. So I'll, like, roast the audience, you know. I kind of had some, like, lines written out, be like, you know, oh, there's a lot of ugly people out here. Oh, you know, I, you know, this must be a pro wrestling show, and that's why it's, you know, or not a sports entertainment show, or, you know, or something like that, you know, just stuff like right. that, and, you know, just doing that, and, you know, just kind of roasting everybody, and that's what, that was going to be my gimmick, just, you know, roasting everybody, but there was a fine line between roasting and burying in pro wrestling, so they were telling me that I really had to watch what I say. They say, careful not to bury anybody. I go, oh, yeah, you're right, sorry. Like, you can't say this guy sucks, he won't beat me, because then there's no reason to, you know, to root for the other guy. But
yeah.
But yeah, no, it would be that. It would probably, yeah, I'd probably be a bad guy, and I'd be a comedian still. So if it's gonna be Mark Gonzalez, it'll be Mark Gonzalez. If I'll change my, I'll change my last name. I'll leave Mark because that's nice. I don't know. I find Mark to be fine, but Gonzalez might shorten it a bit or something. Or Gonzo. I always wanted to go as Gonzo. People always call me Gonzo, so I've been nicknamed by my friends Gonzo. So maybe I'll be, you know, Mark the Gonzo, the Great Gonzo, whatever, something, you know, I'll think of something. I don't know. But, yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
Bad guy. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go
we'll see in your future career. This is Mark Gonzalez. Follow him on Twitter at Mark the Gonzalez.
Yeah.
The Great Gonzo, right? Yeah, the Great Gonzo.
You could be my manager. We could be you could be my Paul Heyman.
Okay, sure. yeah, because like, I remember, like, they always, like, take a, I don't know, a part of your name. Like, my name is Ray Moraldi, so I can go by, like, Morals Roy or something, or Roy Morales or something like that, you know? That's how they are, you know what I mean?
It's so funny what they do, man. One of the funniest memes I love watching is someone photoshopped Sting in XTW, so, like, I'm sorry, NXT. And so, when, you know, when he signed with WWE, they gave him the name with I don't know if it was his real name, Steve Borden, right? Is his real name?
Steve Borden, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but it was like Borden Stevens. They put Borden Stevens on it. I was dying, dude. Holy hell, that's not too far from the truth at all, dude. I love wrestling fans as much as I can hate some of them, but, most part, when they have fun with it, I love it.
Mark, thanks again, man. It's been a fun talk about basketball, comedy, pro wrestling, everything. We'll talk to you later.
Later, brother.
This is Zach Harper of CBSSports.com. You're listening to Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast because Ray Ray is fundamental. You know, like those NBA commercials with the reading is fundamental. You get what I mean.
Thanks to Mark Gonzalez for the great talk about the Lakers, wrestling, stand-up comedy, and everything else in the fundamentals of life. Hope to have him back soon. Again, follow him on Twitter at Mark the Gonzalez, ends with an S, or Fear_LA. Get your Fear LA merchandise there at fearla.com. Also, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show at ray-ray.net. Yeah, there's a hyphen between the rays, and it's spelled R-E-Y. And you can follow the podcast on Twitter at rayrayisfun, or you can follow my personal account at thenolookpass. That's about it. Gal Pal Squad, take care of me. Everyone, take care of yourselves. And just remember that Rary is fundamental, and you don't need a library card to check me out. Until the next episode, party people.
Why don't you, for the people there on the podcast who don't get to hear how you start the podcast, go back into your Janet Jackson countdown. Can you do it? Game over, yeah!
Moded.